Jim Dillon on As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We're getting off to a little bit of a late start due to our typical technical difficulties. And, you know, it's pretty crazy. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about we've got Clyde Lewis coming up on the 15th and the John Zavanko on the 27th. So be sure and check out the website. We should have the new website launched by then, the next day or two. I'm really excited about that. We've done some amazing work on it. Peter Slattery has been a godsend on that, and so that's all going to be launched here real soon, and we'll have all the latest DVDs and things of that nature up on the site here really soon. Speaking of soon, I wanted to talk about soon after the release of The Uncontrolled Narrative, we had an increase Black helicopter activity, and we actually filmed 7 Black Hawks flying over the ranch. Our pump house took a hit, exploding the fuse box, baffling the electricians. They couldn't figure out what happened there, why. And then shortly after that, all 4 of our computer lines went down, followed by hotspot on the phone. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting how every line of communication, you know, decided to go down. You know, it doesn't really make sense. And right before the show, we have the same thing happening. All of a sudden, the phone's not working, Skype's not working, nothing. So anyway, so we just continue to push this and get it through. We will get it through. We just figured we must be over the target with all this resistance. Speaking about computers going down, too, we were just informed that the CIA servers went down. They called Snow White, and the computer's named after the 7 dwarfs. And the coronal satellite systems went down, too. So, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to mess with our communications. So, anyway, I think there was a bigger plan for that. I think that's kind of taking the eyes away from the guys that shouldn't have those eyes. But, anyway, we're informed that I just got a message that there's over 51,701 sealed indictments, and it is getting, you know, close to becoming unsealed. Prisons at Guantanamo and McCord are being beefed up to handle the new guests. The future occupants are flipping out, mainly due to the fact that their karma is soon coming home to roost. So anyway, this is going to be very exciting. And I'm still waiting for some factual evidence to support the wild accusations and slanderous remarks accepted as fact by the lamestream media. And I'm also waiting for a solution to anything coming out of the Democrats. So, again, I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm just observing this. And, you know, I'm watching grown men and women acting like vindictive, wounded children, throwing tantrums for all the world to see, firmly establishing their ignorance and their character, caught up in their own self-importance, actually believing they look wise and informed. So, I don't know if anybody else is disgusted at all the tantrums and the lies and the deceptions and blatantly branded about on the mainstream media, and I think about it, you know, does it make you feel good to know how many of these people making decisions for you, leading the country, you know, are behaving in this matter? It's just like, at what point do you say, what's wrong with this picture, and we need to bring in the Council of Grandmothers tied to the Galactic Federation, and then everything will get straightened out. But anyway, that's my plan. So Google and YouTube have gone all out bonkers, shadow banning, censoring, you know, anything other than their own cultist beliefs, and that's gone just crazy now. And they even admit it, and they're blatantly doing it despite, you know, it's pretty much against the law what they're doing. So it's against the Constitution, a few other things too. So time for some new programs to get out there. And now for the big picture, the sun is lining up with a massive coronal hole, aiming at the Earth, streaming solar energy, which could possibly be an end to all of this. And, you know, you have to think about, is it worth it, you know? What if the big cheese said, enough is enough, you know? You want to see censorship, you know, try operating without a grid, you know? So the sun is conscious. Edgar Cayce and the yogis talk about the feedback loop between the sun and the Earth. And sometimes they think Earth changes are necessary to reboot society, get us back on track, and what is really important. You know, there's an old saying, there are no atheists in the foxhole, and the same goes in the throes of a great quake and a hurricane or tornado. You know, everybody gets back to basics and gets their priorities in order. So, you know, hopefully we don't have to go that direction, but it seems like some people are needing the experience. But also, here's another question. Is anybody wondering why President Trump has named September National Preparedness Month? You know, remember 911, so I keep a heads up out there this month. You might want to get a good idea that kind of hunker down and make sure you've got everything taken care of. But so we are going to see unprecedented social, economic, and earth changes between now and November. Just a heads up, you know, we're going to have to get our priorities in order in the days to come. We just might have to put away all of our petty differences and start working together. Okay, no matter what party, what sect, you know, what religion, what culture, capitalizing on the wounds and traumas of the past, not forgiving, perpetuating seeds of division and againstness, is not frequency specific to the evolution and ascension of humanity in the earth. So it's time to drop your weapons and go home. Where's home? In the heart, your own personal God, creator, spirit connection, and then you can claim to truly be a light worker. So I wrote this just because there's so much nonsense going on, and there's just so much againstness and separation and epidemic. And I think the only way that we're going to finally get through with this is to, you know, kind of pull back and make our own connection, get our information from our own center right now. Because it's getting to be crazy-making, you know, and you can't really get the truth. It seems from external sources. We're going to have to go internal to figure out what's going on. So on that note, getting off my rant, I've got a great show tonight. I've got Peter Slattery here with SETI Australia. And I've got Craig Sullivan here with JSETI, the Japan SETI, you might say. And then I actually have mcbiexpeditions.com here. And Rob, Freeman. Yeah, Freeman. I was mental block there. But Rob has this, what do you call it, weapon of...
WMD, weapon of mass detection.
Yeah, weapon of mass detection. This thing is a monster. I walked out there, and it looked like some giant alien just landed on my front lawn.
Uh-huh.
But he's got this giant tripod with all of these cameras lined up on it. And, you know, actually, I think I'll just turn this over to you, and you can tell us about your system and actually what it does.
Sure. Thanks, James. It actually started out as a simple Nikon P900. But you know how these things totally kind of evolve as you get frustrated when you can't get certain pictures of things. And currently we've got thermal cameras, 2, 1, 4, long distance, to kind of read the watts on people's time on the mountain over there. We've got far thermal for general. We've got night vision, the green standard night vision. We've got also on there is full spectrum camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then regular visible cameras. And then a good old binocular as well. And in addition to that, we've got WMD2. It's a little mini geek.
Uh-huh.
And it's just two cameras on a tripod that include time lapse in both visible and video with full spectrum. So if there's something there, we hope to catch it.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, a lot of people say, you know, what kind of equipment are you using to document the evidence here? And for a long time, I had like a little $200 Sony camera with really good night vision on it. It was doing a great job, you know, for years. But now they got some new technology. So we're using like infrared spotlights to light up the other dimensions. We're using, you know,
this, what is the third generation white phosphorus?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's pretty darn good.
Yeah. And so we've got that. We've got a few. I'm hoping to expand that and get some other, put another people out here to do the documentation of what's going on. Because, I mean, it's the skies are just full of ships. They're doing crazy stuff. And I hope it's kind of clear out there tonight. I think it might be okay. But, you know, as long as we got clear skies here, we got some amazing things. And at the last conferences we had at the Soul Tech with Jimmy Church and even with the new documentary, you know, The Uncontrolled Narrative, the ship kept showing up over and over in the background while we were filming The Uncontrolled Narrative. So anybody that was out in the field while they're being filmed had ships in the background zipping around. So if you want to get a copy of that, I mean, you can either get it through us you know, go to eSETI.org, or you can, you know, go and see it on the eSETI Stargate section. You know, pull it up and do your own investigation, because if you go frame by frame and slow it down, you'll see all kinds of ships. And we had Jason Gleaves actually analyze some of them, and he said without a doubt, you know, these are ships in the background. So there you have it. You know, it's a lot of these ships are flying very fast. They're very hard to get. If you film in slow motion, you can pick these ships up. And we have other ones that are just basically in your face as well. They're coming in treetop level, and we have that footage as well. So anyway, for the debunkers, you know, we have green ships, pink ships, purple ships, white ships. Metal ships, cylinder ships, triangle ships, way beyond the arsenal of our black projects or whatever. So, and you have to remember, too, this has been going on for, I don't know, a few hundred years. So I don't think we had black ops a few hundred years ago. We probably had some pretty weird stuff here on the planet, but nobody knew about it. But we do have underground bases and facilities and higher dimensional beings that have been here for quite some time. And these might, you know, and especially in the past, these had to be their ships. But anyway, there's so much going on right now. It's just insane. So I'm going to turn this over to Peter first, and he talked about a little bit of his experiences here at the ranch and what he's been filming and experiencing lately. So here's Peter Spottery with eSETI Australia.
Yeah, so I've been here for probably 7 weeks now, I think, like that. Basically, it's just daily, the activity, nightly. A lot of stuff for me happens during the day. We've had a few good sightings during the day. Even just before the show started, we've had like a lot of pleiading activity here at the moment. People that are sensitive can feel the energy. But on top of all that, we've been working on contact has begun too. So I think, what was it, the first night that came out on Netflix had something like 20 million hits?
Yeah,
something like that.
Well, it's that first 2 weeks they had 28 million.
28 million.
Yeah,
so it's a bit of a job to try and keep that quality and beat that, but that's sort of what I'm working on at the moment. So me and James have been good mates now for probably going on 5 years. So there's a lot of stuff that I can document as a friend and as a documentarian, though I don't really call myself that will show an insight into James's life that no one else could get, just from the fact that we're good friends. But not just the contact side of things, but James as a person and his soul and what he's like to people in general, how giving he is here to open up the ranch and that. So I hope I do that justice, but that's something for people to look out for soon, as well as the latest documentary that we've just released, The Uncontrolled Narrative, which is up now that James is speaking about. But we've got a few other projects on the way as well, but it's continuous, and I'm just glad that, I don't know how many people this hall is packed out tonight, but it's just great that people can come here and experience it and just be open for the, you know, to experience things in general, because whether it's Bigfoot or elementals or UFOs or ETs or otherworldly beings in whatever form, this is a place where James has created and held a space for everyone to come here and do that. But everyone's an experiencer. You don't have to come here to do it, but the veil's are very thin here due to the mountain, due to the portal, the eSETI Stargate, and due to what James does. So it's just every, I don't know how many times a day I walk up to you and go, this just happened, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy.
And we have everything going on. We also have a lot of the nature spirits showing up in people's films and Bigfoot and everything else. And so I know that's kind of hard to swallow for a lot of people because there's so much happening here, but, you know, welcome to the vortex. So the veils are very thin here between worlds, and there's worlds within worlds, and Einstein and Michio Kaku and all the great minds have talked about this, explaining the other dimensions and the worlds within worlds and worlds outside of our perception. But here we seem to be able to perceive these worlds because the veils are much thinner. And this also sits in a magnetic field, and it's been well documented as well that actually the magnetic field here at the ranch is a place where it's very easy to connect, you know, with the higher dimensional beings and have your own experience.
John Vivanco, yeah. I just want to say, John Vivanco, the remote viewer and good friend of ours, he showed us through, it was an American government website, and it's from satellite imagery. It shows the hot spots and really high points of electromagnetic fields on America. Anyway, I'm not sure about the rest of the world. And Mount Adams was like one of the most high electromagnetic points on in all the United States of America. It showed it in sort of the thermal imagery sort of thing, but it was peaking it, man. I didn't look at it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so we're going to switch over. We've got Greg Sullivan here with Jay Setti, and he can talk a little bit about it. He's brought a group here, some wonderful people from Japan, and he brings groups here on a constant basis. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about your group here and their experiences and how that's been going.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to be back. I've been home a total of a day since I was here last, but we're in the peak season of our year. It's been an amazing year, and we just avoided another. We've had as you've seen in the news, probably, they just had the earthquake in Hokkaido that day. Everyone left, and a really big earth change here over there. One that half the typhoons are man-made, and the other half are kind of like ascension waves coming in, just clearing by water, and then also with the record heat, we have this Mars transit with the fire element coming down. And so it's been a really powerful year so far. I agree completely with the fact that contact's getting closer, and I was surprised how many great videos are coming out in daytime and just with the smartphones. Some of our members here got the metallic ships just as we entered the field on the first night, and as it was still light outside. So encourage everyone to throw on that slow motion mode and see when you can get on the field. Congrats also, Peter, great job. Thanks for doing the Uncontrolled Narrative. We did the interview last time I was here about a month ago, and then I didn't realize it was going to come up so soon. So great job.
Having great eyes, man.
It might take us a few more years to subtitle that.
Yeah, exactly.
We work at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
It feels so peaceful here this time, getting to the end of the season here, and I think the mountain is everything. Every time we come, it seems like things are ramping up as well as stabilizing. So, it's a great experience. I'd like to one of the people here had an experience with past relatives, and I wanted to. We've had several of these issues come up with a new category of ETs is recently ascended humans, and we've had several contacts with people who pass and go right into a ship and start communicating, or and we had an episode with that in one of the sessions this time too, and it was it happened again in Japan, where people are connected with loved ones who have become, they're not in the astral anymore, they're actually going right into HD, higher dimension. So that's a whole new,
I had that
contact.
Yeah, that happened with my father. It was really weird when he crossed over. We were all there, and his last words were, beam me up.
Yeah, yeah. Famous last words.
Yeah, and so I go, beam me up. Why would he say beam me up? And so I walk outside, and I look up, and here's this beautiful turquoise light ship over the house. And what I found is he went back to the Orion system. He's like a six-dimensional Orion being working there. And he'd always had contact and connections with ETs and things. So we have to kind of reevaluate our concept of heaven, You may not just get, some wings and a heart. You might get a spaceship, a light ship, So it's a lot more to heaven than we think.
We had wings and a heart appear yesterday at the cloud, actually, just like the SETI logo. So we've had a lot of, and then we had a huge cloud ship, that lenticular cloud in the, over the field yesterday. It was beautiful. So, tonight's very much, too.
That photograph looked like your whole group just stepped off the ship.
Yeah.
You had the big lenticular cloud right behind you. That was great.
That's been amazing. So we filmed a lot of stuff last time, and we've tried to put in a DVD. We're trying to do some projects of our own in Japan, where I'm going to have meditation music over scenes from the ranch and in around Ysetti, so that people who can't make it can kind of it remotely, have a meditation video, so to speak. So,
and their own virtual reality.
Yeah. We released Content Has Begun last year, and that's been really popular, and coming out is going to be your book, Ultimate Soldiering. We seem to have one delay or another with the language and translation thing, but anyway, it's always everything's always the divine timing. Yeah, so I hope to have my story in English. I'm going to be pulled up this winter and finally get something out to document. We're coming into the 10th year of Jay Setti next year, so. Hoping to have, and then you guys come back and have a little, have a large seminar because there's no actual UFO research field in Japan. It's us versus the control narrative.
Yeah.
And us versus everything else. I hate to be divisive, but that's the fact of the matter. So
yeah.
That's why we have reached out to. Yeah, that's why we have been so thankful to have you guys as great friends and supporters over the years. So yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Let me just turn it over to Rob.
Yeah, I saw the teaser for Rob's film, and it's going to be amazing. So I'll hear more about it.
You want to talk about your film, but first I'd like to get that talk a bit more about that equipment you have out there. And have you had it one night out there or two nights?
Yes, we arrived late Thursday night.
Okay.
And I just went out on my own without the equipment. Last night, this was our first night.
Okay.
Setting up all the equipment and
did
document all the lights on the mountain there.
Nice. And, you know, there's it was for the record, we had some big clouds over us, and it finally did clear up later on. But did you get any more UFO activity in the sky after that?
Yeah. Actually, I stayed out till 3:51 a.m. And then, of course, you know, it's too exciting to just turn off the equipment and go to bed. So I just have to, you know, open up the SD cards and take a look and see what I caught. So I actually went to bed about 5. I spent about an hour going through all the time-lapse footage, and there's lots of lights up there.
Okay.
There's lots of lights halfway down, and we saw
quite
a few. And then about two-thirds of the way up, there's a lot of white lights.
Yeah.
And then right near the top, also, there's a few lights.
Yeah, that's where the cave is, up towards the right side on the top, and then the middle is the door where the door opens, and down low is where we have all the landings. We have tons of landings there down low. So it's it seems like every night lately it's just been crazy. But
this is what three landings align.
Yeah,
blocks you so bang you.
Yeah. And also Peter got a beautiful shot of a ship coming out of the cave. So, you know, that puts to rest that these are campers, you know. they're covering a quarter mile or a half mile.
He saw a ship move across in what, 3 minutes? It moved across the whole side of the mountain, right?
Seems that the best captures are when you're changing your battery.
Exactly.
Right, I was going to comment about that.
Yeah, if they don't want you to get a certain photo of it, you won't get it.
I have my SD card here. I forgot this the last two nights.
Yeah.
I finally brought it to my
So while I was doing that, I actually had the night vision, just the handheld scope out, and I watched the light. It started out in the middle, and it moved straight across to the outside of the mountain in about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And I don't know the mathematics on how big the mountain is, but I would have to say it's several miles. I don't know. What would it be
probably,
to the outside?
Probably 7 miles.
10 miles, more. And for something to move that distance in a minute and a half, that ruled out. Car, AGV, four people walking.
Yeah,
sure.
And also, too, right now, that the snow is pretty much gone up there. There's just a little bit of patches left. And whatever vehicles would be up there, first of all, it's wilderness area. It's totally illegal to have any vehicle up there whatsoever. Second of all, the terrain, you just got cliffs, ice cliffs, and you've got large boulders, lava boulders. I mean, the terrain is just walking on it bad enough, and hiking on it is atrocious. But to get a vehicle to go up there and down and across that mountain, it has to be something that's anti-gravity or something. You cannot get a snowmobile or an ATV or anything up there considering the terrain, because you know you'd come back in a body bag basically. There's no other way of doing it. But
all burned out forest up there, right?
Yeah, the very low part is. But when you get where he's talking about, it's just giant lava boulders and cliffs and glaciers, and even most of the glaciers are gone. There's a little bit of the glacier on the left, but, you know, the whole top of the mountain, I've never seen, there's no snow on the top of the mountain. We're seeing things up there moving around, too. So and then when Peter filmed that one coming out of the cave and going straight up, I know GoPro people did that as well. That eliminates the camper theory that the campers are up there with giant lights, because that area, nobody goes in that area. When they climb Mount Adams, They call it South Climb, but in truth, it's more East Climb. It's on the east side, and it goes across the very top on the right side. And you just don't, it's 13, 14 miles away. The luminosity and the candle power of those lights that we're seeing are enormous. And
miles away.
Yeah, 13, 14 miles away. So how do you pack equipment that big up there and do it every night and be up there till 3 or 4 in the morning? It makes no sense. There's no logic to it, you know. But so anyway, it's
we have similar ground lights in Japan a lot, and we've done testing where we bring a car across at the same distance across a cove or something where we see the lights, and the size is incomparable. It's like 10 to 15 times larger than the car headlights at the same distance.
And we've done some crazy stuff here at the last two conferences, ships making turns.
Come back and Jimmy's like, oh my god, it's on a U-turn.
One's cruising and all of a sudden it's going back the other way, and you're going, wait a second, you know. So satellites don't make U-turns, satellites don't power up like they do here, and this is a lot of it's later on in the evening. They're in the Earth's shadow, it's not reflective light. We know all about the iridium flares, and we know all about the debunkers trying to say it's a satellite, but you know, we also know what satellites are up there because we can go on J-Tracker or Heavens Above and find out exactly what's up there. So when the NASA boys say that this is a space station, when we film a ship landing on the mountain and morphing into three, going back to one again, taking off in a jet, leading a jet off, and that's chasing it, and then come back to the mountain again, you know, you show them this footage and they say, oh, that's the space shuttle, you know. So it's like, and I have that on film. And I said, my God, who are these people? How can, that's their standard thing. It's either the space shuttle or it's the ISS or whatever. It's the satellite or, you know, we know what's up there. There's, you know, ISS, there's Evastat, there's all, you know, there's no more shuttles. They're grounded. And we know when they're launching the other rockets. So, and we also have footage of the space station up there with ships flying in front of it, flying across its bow, a massive ship going across its bow, some behind it, and you call up NASA and say, hey, you have any ships up there that are bringing supplies to the space station? They go, nope, nothing's up there. And they go, we just filmed four craft up there flying around the space station. And so I think it's interesting that all of a sudden they change their story really quick, and, oh, you're seeing a Russian rocket, or they come up with something, you know. But I know there's not four Russian rockets up there. Could be our space fleet, our secret space fleet, who knows, but it's definitely not a known object, you know, that we're aware of. But the there's so much going on up there. I want to talk a little bit about the experiences that, you know, although we do have all the equipment and we are monitoring this and measuring it and we have the the equipment to do all this stuff, and we have physical craft and everything else. It's not about the physical. It's really about rising to the occasion, because these are very spiritually and technologically advanced beings, and that's where most of ufology misses the boat. You know, they're either keeping it 60 years in the past, or they want to keep it nuts and bolts and things like that, but it's far beyond that. And you would think with after, you know, 30 years of being here and documenting this and having contacts and tell them exactly when and where the ships are flying, and doing it redundantly with news crews and other like Paranormal State and people like that. Danny Dyer's special, Robbie Williams was up here. You know, you do this redundantly, you think after a while they go, well, maybe we should change our mind here about this. Maybe there is something to the telepathic contact, or maybe there is something to these beings being ultra-dimensional or having a higher spiritual nature to them. And it does make sense. You have a group that's millions, if not billions, years ahead of us, you know, in evolution as we know it. They would probably have to go spiritual, or they would probably destroy themselves. So, you know, it's just common sense. But anyway, despite the track record here and the documentation, the thousands of witnesses, the triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed Skunk Works guys that testified on Art Bell and things of that nature, you know, we still have the naysayers. But the one problem is that they have is that it's still happening. It's still there. I mean, you can still come up here. It hasn't stopped, you know. And so they can't try to debunk something that happened in the past. All they have to do is come up and bring their eyes and a camera and get their own footage. But a lot of them just won't do that because, you know, they've written a book and they have their belief system, and usually it's limited to nuts and bolts or keeping everything in the past. And so they don't want anything outside of that system. It's like when you bring a new theory in, you have to wait till the old professors die because they wrote the books on the old theory. And finally, when they die, you can bring the new theory in because, you know, it's being heavily censored, and there's a lot of that happening. But anyway, with the uncontrolled narrative, with the people we have on there and the evidence and the shifts and the things that Peter has documented, you know, it's a slam dunker, you know. So if you want to, you know, get a hold of that and share it with your friends and things of that nature, it's a real eye-opener. And I want to turn this over to Peter again because Peter has some of the best footage on the planet, if not the best footage of the planet, of both metallic craft, light ships, Palladians appearing in his bedroom and his living room. Unbelievable footage, undeniable. It's all been well documented. It's been checked out by Jason Gleaves and other people. Researchers have checked it out. They've run it through all the spectrum, and you know, it's been totally legit. And I'd love to get his take and just talk a little bit about the other side of nuts and bolts.
Nuts and bolts. It's got to do with the spiritual component, and that took me a while to understand that with the contact. But I'll just say this now. Guess how many people have come to my house in Australia and investigated this from a UFO group? Not one.
Yeah.
I had to have Japanese TV crews come, Mexican, and individual people like this. Not one group came to investigate. And what my conclusion was that I couldn't be your story. Now, I'm open to doing documentaries, and I'm doing documentaries and featuring new things, and that's great. But what I mean by I couldn't be their story was a lot of UFO groups, they want to get the poor abductee or the poor person, the person that's having this and that going. Now, I went through a hard time. There's times I wanted to do suicide, things like that. I went and got my brain scanned. It was very hard. But I couldn't be someone's story because when this happened, I ended up on the evening news. Now, my life has been public since I was about 20 because I'm a rap artist as well and well-known over there, but I haven't had much privacy in my life from then onwards. But usually a UFO group will get somebody and then they'll make them a story so that UFO group or that researcher can get famous. So I've seen it time and time again, and then these experiences and contactees get screwed over. I've seen people have to leave jobs. I even had to leave a job. I've seen people where their kids have been bashed at school because their parents are inexperienced and the UFO group couldn't care about what they've got to go through. I've had NASA hack my stuff like James has. I've had Sandia Labs hack my laptop, which I've got on video, and the head of the internet provider said everything on my computer was being uploaded. And the only reason it was found out was because the internet's so crap in Australia that when I opened up my computer, everyone else is shut down. So what I'm saying is with some of these UFO groups, they don't care. They want to keep the nuts and bolts, and they want you to be their story. I couldn't be their story because automatically I was on the evening news for this because I wanted to figure out what was it I was experiencing. Now, I had contact since I was young, but I didn't understand the full extent until later on. And it is frustrating. It's not just Australia. It's in America. It's worldwide with UFO groups. And this is where you look at people like Alan Hynek. By the end of his first year with Project Blue Book, and then he left that and created his own UFO group, which was like a middle finger to the government going, this is my way of saying this is real rather than debunking it. And then by the end of his life, he started to actually go into meditation and come to the consciousness side of things, which, as James says, and I agree 100%, this is all bait. The UFO, all that is bait for where it eventually leads. And there is two sides to this story, or actually three sides. You've got the tricksters in the middle, you've got the negative beings on one end, then you've got those that are in service to humanity and awakening and healing process as well, and also the source as well. So it's so layered that they don't want to go there. They don't want to go there. And I've been lucky to have a mentor like yourself and to the beings as well, that I've had to use discernment and, you know, not everything's been neat and tracked, but it is very sad to see that this has been a recurring thing since probably, I'd say, the 60s, really, with the UFO group.
we're going over 50 years now. What the hell is going on? It's like having you know, still think us thinking that a T-model bird Ford is the best Ford you can buy. And it's from how many years ago?
Yeah.
And again, it comes down to, and I hate to be like this, but it's like, do I need to ring up the government if there's a bird on my front lawn and go, can you come around here and tell me what's in the front lawn? It's all external these days, and we've got to start going within and using some discernment, but start trusting our own intuition on things, because we're screwed if we're going to keep on being external and asking the government about things. And it's not just America, it's worldwide, the Australian government, every single government. There needs to be a change, but we're the people that have got to change it, and we've got to change it from our own consciousness, not, again, going external, expecting change to start out there. It starts within, then it projects outside of yourself. That's what we're going to come to.
Awesome, yeah. You know, I love, there's a saying, and this is going to go outside the box of ufology again, which they hate, and I love to do that. But anyway, there's an old saying that it came from Mother Mary, who, just a little disclaimer, she's not Catholic. she's a universal being, and she's here for everyone. But I've had near-death experiences. I almost died as a kid, and she came to me over and over again and would talk to me and actually put me back together and healed me when I was 5 years old. So, but anyway, I have a close connection with her, and it's sad what the church has done with these beings that came here and talked about love and joy and bliss and nurturing and healing and making your own connection with Source, and they've twisted these teachings. But I remember what she said. She said, universal peace won't come through the religions or the politicians or government. It's going to come through the hearts and minds of the people. And, you know, you can just turn that around and just say, you know, contact is not going to come through governments and religions and all these external authorities. It's going to come through the hearts and minds of the people. So it's up to us to not give our power away to all these external sources, do our own research, do our own spiritual practices, rise to the occasion, and have our own contact. And that's the way contact is going to happen. And the higher dimensional beings are in full support of this. You know, and that's why when we do our events, we have so much activity here, because we're taking a more personal responsibility approach to this, and, you know, healing up our old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, rising to the occasion, so we can hang out with these very, very spiritually and technologically advanced beings. And that's basically what we all have to do. So this other stuff is a great sideshow. You know, if you want to be entertained, you know, you can go to all these other events. They're great. But, you know, really what it all boils down to is personal responsibility and, you know, cleaning up our own consciousness and our environment and creating the space that welcomes these higher dimensional beings. So on that note, I'm going to pass this on to
Greg here.
I'd like to ask Rob if we have at least, you know, we've all... From the teaser I saw the film, there's all the, you know, so many groups and people doing contact. It seems like it's ramped up exponentially in the last few years. And can you talk about your journey? And then we touched on the spiritual component of the filming as well. I was going to mention that, and you took the words out of my mouth almost. It's like I can't count the amount of times where the best events or experiences, it's almost like they the batteries run out, the data's card is full, et cetera, et cetera. Can you talk about the film you're making, please?
Yes. Well, it all started out when I was a kid. As with many people, I was 12 years old, and I just came out of scouts and looked up, and kids in the street said, "Hey, mister." I must have looked like a mister with my scout hat and shiny shoes and tie. I was only 12 years old then. And they said, "There's a helicopter up in the sky." And I looked up and said, "It's not a helicopter." The kid disappeared, and I'm watching this thing. It's only up at about 800 feet. It comes lower and lower. I'm waiting for my mom to kind of pick me up. Hair was kind of going up on my arm. And she got there. I got her to get out of the car, and nothing was gone. Right?
Yeah.
And I go home with my tail between my legs, and hearing everybody calling me up. Next day, though, after I got home from school, my mom was all excited. She showed me the newspaper. It was all over the front of the newspaper. So I know many people have been nervous to sort of come out on this subject all their life. Never happened with me, because I was literally validated the next day after my first experience, and I became a celebrity at school. I was the guy that saw the flying saucer.
Very positive. First time.
And so that was you know, I like that. And then, you know, everybody wanted, all of my friends wanted to see a UFO. And they, my friend across the street said, how could I see one? And I said, I don't know. Maybe if we go on the roof of my house, we'll see something. Little did I know that we called them in. So we went up on the roof of the house a couple weeks later, and we were up there maybe half an hour. And we were getting kind of cold. We kind of were chatting. And I was just to say, I was just going to say to him, I don't think we're going to see anything.
Yeah.
And just as I said to her, see, hundreds of lights went across from the southern sky or the northern sky right across to the southern sky in like seconds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Seemed to be in the heaven. We're now speechless. 30 seconds later, we're still looking to the south. A whole flotilla went right across the sky. And it's like, wow. And, of course, we headed across the street to tell my dad and mom they were at his folks' place. And went back to my place to watch Star Trek. So, but anyway, fast forward to literally 50 years later, I had been doing some movies with a good friend of mine, Mark McNabb, who cares about. And during one of our movie sessions between sets, we were telling stories, and I told him the story. We moved on to other stories, but I didn't think anything of it. And he went away for a few months and did research. He contacted a lot of people around the world and told my story. He came back to me and said, look, you called, you and your friend called those things in. I said, great, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to go travel around the world. We're going to do documentary. We're going to document people's stories. We're going to go out in the field with them. And this is the difference between us. We're going to get some other documentaries who just send crews in who really couldn't care less. They just want to get the story and move on to another story. We are actually heavily involved with the people in the field. We'll spend a week or two with them. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, who's going to pay for it? He said, you are. Still paying for it. You can see the equipment out there. But nevertheless, it's been a fantastic 3.5 years so far. And we also have Liz Bourne with us. She speaks Spanish, and she's opened up the whole South American one side of things for us, right, which is fantastic. We've been to 11 countries, over 30 cities. We've interviewed probably well over 200 people. We've been out in the field for thousands of hours. And we've got fantastic footage, but I have to say, the best footage typically when we put all the equipment away.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got that one craft they showed you taken on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And then the mountains over Peru, structured craft.
Yeah.
And we were in north of Vancouver, B.C. We had heard there were things over the Squamish Rock there. We parked ourselves for 8 hours there, and we caught a fantastic 8-foot orb coming across the sky.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. It was the eye of the until it went into the woods. and you can hear me in the video going, oh, it's like in the woods. So that video has kind of gone viral, and it was investigated by MUFON. And we actually went back, and we did all the math and everything 2 months later. And that setting actually got picked as one of the top 13 for 2017 for everywhere in the world by MUFON.
Yeah.
So we're quite happy about that. We wanted to come here to the ranch for 3 years. We finally made it here this weekend. We appreciate your hospitality, James. Fantastic place. And we've already seen lights in the sky last night.
Yeah.
We're going to go up tonight again and just see what we can get. But we're continuing on traveling around the world. I wanted just to see something Peter said, though. He said that all the governments around the world are closed to this and they're hiding it. Not so in South America.
Oh, yeah, they're very open. Well, if anything, you can see on the TV there, the president's pointing to it.
Yeah.
The government has sort of said, look, America's never said UFOs don't exist, but they're not a great capital security. If everyone but really America does put up the UFO document as well, America is, yes, may throw the sign and point the rumors available as well, but it's down the next step.
And I was just making another comment. And thanks to Liz, who's, you know, a partner in this Making Contact, Be Inspired project and documentary, we've met and been on expeditions with famous Bigfoot as well three times. And we've experienced fantastic things in South America. Totally.
Yeah, the village was not just any UFO town. Did you go there?
met the fellow who runs the UFO investigation for the government.
He works
for the Air Force in Peru. We interviewed him in the condo we had rented for over 3 hours. He told us everything. And I could feel my face kind of turning red. I'm thinking, this guy's going to get in a lot of trouble. Right? He was telling one secret after another. And finally, Mark said, why would you tell us all this? He said, why wouldn't I? And so it's totally open. And sort of we interviewed people on the street, on the beach, and one group of guys were painting the side of a wall in a condo. We came right up. They just sound like birds, full of everything, what they've seen. It seems that people in South America, especially Peru, everybody has seen and experienced something. And if they haven't, their brother, mother, sister, daughter, father, mother have. So it's very, very open there.
We saw Hong San in Taos when they had all their group held single things, talk about UFOs, how big it is in South America. Also Japan, the ones that came in Japan, it's like on the cards there, and also in Italy. Italy was just, when we went there as well, it's crazy what Italy's got going on. There is parts, I think most people that are behind in this is America, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the UK.
Yeah.
Really, when it comes down to it. Everywhere else in the world, they're like,
the Five Eyes.
Where do we go?
Yeah.
They say, where do we go? Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
All these countries are, they're over it. They know that it's real. And they've all got stories.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have stories.
Yeah, I went down to Mexico, and I was putting on big shows there, and the proceeds were going to a lot of the Native Americans down there, the villages and things, and we get all these people come, most of them are all tourists, you know, and some of the locals would come and check it out, and they didn't really care about the UFO stuff very much. They wanted to know the paranormal stuff, because the UFO stuff, they already accepted. They go, oh, yeah, we see those all the time. They come out of the ocean. They come over here, Monkey Mountain, you go up there. They're coming out of there all the time, and so it's kind of interesting. It's just part of the culture in a lot of South American countries, but... And it used to be a part of all our culture, and it was all throughout the Bible on frescoes and everything else. But it seems over the past 60 years, after we did get the technology, after Roswell and things like that, all of a sudden the giggle factor came in, and it's the devil, and it's this, and they took it out of the culture, you know. So, and they're very good at it, you know, and what they do. But now it's all backfired on them because. I know I bring up this poll all the time in Texas after they had a UFO flap there. They did a poll. 99% of people said that UFOs exist. So I don't know how you can do a cover-up and keep a straight face. And you're totally establishing your ignorance or your character when you get up and do that now. And, you know, I see these guys going up there trying to keep this thing going. And they'll bring some colonel, and they'll shove him up there, and you can see the guy's just sweating and just going, and he's really having a hard time going through the script. But a lot of them do want to bring this out, and I think they are. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour here. We're going to have to be signing off pretty quick, but again, I can't thank enough all of you for coming and being on the show, and the wonderful audience here that's come to see their own UFOs, and so just give everybody on the way out, let's give everybody a big hand for enjoying the show. All right, and this is Graham Jones signing off at Azure Wave Talk Radio on the VBS Network. Have a great evening, and just remember, keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intention, and keep your focus on connecting with these higher dimensional beings, and never know, sooner or later, it's going to come to you. Anyway, have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you.